Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, goodness. Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Let's have a check-in on our new phrase that we've created.
Yaks of Quarks.
So
it's just a fun new way and fun new take on a
yes,
common
of course,
phrase.
Is out.
Yaks
of Quarks is in.
Or you know, you can really just sub in the X sound, you know, that fricative maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not a linguistic
Ooh, but
expert.
I love fricative.
But I don't know if that's a fricative sound. But anyway, you can sub the X out for other sounds as well. Like I tried out today on a text at least. I said, mm-hmm. "Oh my gox," which sounds,
I liked when you did that.
Which sounds fun.
Yeah, right. I really like it.
Yeah.
And our guest is into it.
I believe our guest is into it. Maybe she's going to fake us out and say I hate it.
We'll
but
see.
That's fine.
I have a feeling this guest is gonna like it.
Our guest, wow, this is really special.
This is a moment.
Yeah, this is a moment. We'll bring her in, but I just have to
embarrass her.
I will embarrass her. No, I mean her specials, her albums, incredible. How to Win, Unwanted Thought Syndrome, Old Baby, like just such good stuff. The special, like truly, what a preeminent mind. I think really, really. Such an admirer for a long time.
Many of our finest comedians' favorite comedian.
There you go. And of course, Lady Dynamite, just an incredible, incredible show. And so we're so happy to have with us today
Maria Bamford.
I feek so great folks.
Yes. Great folks.
Great folks.
Great folks.
Great folks. You know, it could mean something else, but we know what it means.
But we know what it means. In context, it works.
The way you guys have used it is so good.
Yeah.
It's so,
well, honestly,
it's so hip.
Yeah. What really takes it to the next level is the of corks.
Of corks.
Of corks. And you think maybe, you know, wine corks, cork board.
Mm-mm.
It's of corks.
And people have... been tweeting yaks of corks and back to us after we announced it at our live show at the Echo. We announced it as a new thing in the cultural canon, which is how things catch on. I feel.
No,
yeah, you have to force that.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that home and I'm going to at least say it to 17 people.
Yeah,
say it
could.
To 17 people.
And you know, five of them, I think.
Five of them.
We'll continue on.
You know what stayed with me? One of your phrases that stayed with me is, I don't know if you remember this, hog book?
Oh, yes, hog book.
Hog book.
Two words together that are delightful to say. It was my screen name for my OkCupid profile.
Right. Oh, which is how you met your husband.
How I met my husband. One guy responded to hog book.
And it was the right guy.
And it was the right guy.
Oh my God.
Because you put something vague on there on your profile, like I put thoughtful, funny, or something.
Yeah.
Too wide a net.
No.
You can't cast that.
Everyone wants thoughtful and funny, but not everyone wants hog book. And if you do want hog book, like, that's
really
you have to connect with people who like the same words as you.
Love the words in the same way that you love words. And he was like, hog book, who is this lady?
Right.
And which is whereas some people wrote me and said, hog book, did you know that's the word for a log book that a pilot keeps in the cockpit? I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm not how it sounds, babe. Okay.
Unless
it's about
the ear.
It's about the oral experience.
Thank you. Or you're not trying to bag a pilot, are you?
No.
Can I tell you my favorite word, but it is a Spanish word? Mochila. It means backpack.
Backpack, yes.
Mochila.
When I've heard about La Mochila, I was like, that's it for me.
Was it a
I settled down with
was
it.
Was it a Dora the Explorer thing?
No. Oh, you know what? Maybe it was.
She calls her Mochila.
Mochila, she often says Mochila because she has a Mochila.
She goes, mi Mochila.
I believe it's a Tiene Mochila. She has a backpack.
Tiene una mochila.
One backpack.
Sure.
Por favor.
Sure.
Que lastima.
Que lastima. What a shame.
That's another good one. I guess I have to give the credit, though, to again, she's going to make it on the podcast again. Senorita Ford.
Your sixth grade Spanish teacher?
That was ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that she was Senorita Ford. That's like a hog book situation where it's like two words that just, you know, you don't think they would go together, but then they work.
There's a comic dissonance to it, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I would say.
Sure.
Oh,
God, grew up in California, Maria?
No.
No, you were born here.
Midwest.
I was born here. I grew up in Minnesota, but my dad was in the Navy, so I grew up born in the Naval Hospital.
Oh,
Fort Wayne,
yes.
Navy.
That's what it is. Yes.
My God. You shouldn't. Nobody should know any of these things about anyone.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe my spouse. Maybe she's
maybe your spouse. Maybe. This feels invasive now. This feels invasive. And
now it's
I'm
too
sorry.
Much. Now I know too much.
Now we know too much.
The mystery is gone.
We
have a friend who has the silhouette of Long Island tattooed on his bicep.
Oh my.
And we said, when did you get that? He said, last year. I was like, okay.
and for what reason?
Pride.
Long Island pride. Pride. Not even gay pride, just
did
Long Island
Did he grow
pride.
Up there?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Okay, so it wasn't because of a certain seminal experience you had later in life.
He says, I went to Long Island and I thought, this is a beautiful country. but honestly, if I could have a state or a region tattooed on me, I guess it would have to be Florida.
Okay, but that is because you have had seminal experiences there.
I'm a Disney person.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, how does that make you feel?
Well, mixed. I did work for Disney as a secretary in the very boring part of the show. I was in the show that's very quiet and grim.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of getting coffee and hustling.
No, that's not the Disney experience.
No,
we know.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
But you're still a part of the show.
You're
a cast member.
Oh, that's so, when they tell you you're a cast member, that has to feel exhilarating in some way, even if you know the reality is a lot of sitting and...
Is and administrative work.
Administrating.
Yeah. Instead of answering phones when somebody says, there's a lot of legal, where people can't use anything that has, I worked in the legal department where it's like anything that looks like Mickey. Mm-hmm. So like some poor lady in Guatemala who's just making like Mickey Mouse, quilts just for funsies out of her.
And they came for her?
Oh, yeah. No. Everybody goes down.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, my God. So wait, here's a question. Working for Disney, even in the legal department, do you still have to be like this?
Well, I mean, I tried my best. I didn't get fired. Mm. This is one of the worst things that I ever did at Disney.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was a receptionist, and I was... substituting for another woman who had left a half-eaten chocolate rabbit from Easter on her desk.
Okay.
Now, albeit, I need to bring my own snacks, okay? But I cannot bear when someone leaves something delicious. You're eating that slowly. I ate it up.
Yeah, okay.
She tracked me down within the mail system at Disney, called me and said, "What the hell? You ate my chocolate rabbit," and I was very ashamed. It does not stop me from stealing other people's food.
No. It shouldn't. You have to keep being you and who you are.
And this is what
you steal.
And you steal. But
you're a thief.
This is what I have to say. And not to put this in a victim blaming situation. She left that on display.
Wait, also what?
She left the rabbit on display. You're not gonna not eat it.
And not for nothing, but you don't just leave chocolate out because, honey, it's rule of culture number 40. For
after Easter, don't leave the chocolate out.
And I was gonna, in addition, it's rule culture number 45:
chocolate will melt. Absolutely, she didn't think of that. That's wild.
She didn't think of that.
But it's chilled. It's chilled inside the Auschwitz. It's like it's very nice air conditioning system.
Well,
but
listen.
Not inside those suits.
No,
those poor people in those suits who have to live in the tunnels.
Are they air conditioned though?
The suits?
Because I never
There's
understood
some ventilation
this.
In
like,
there.
Whenever they say, well, don't worry, those suits, because you see them, and they are in Orlando, Florida, which is a tropical climate, decidedly.
Yes.
And they say, don't worry, the suits are air conditioned. And I'm like, how could that be? Do you have intel?
I don't have intel. I have been inside one of a suit like that. Getney the Minnesota pickle. Thank you.
Fab.
It was hot and awful.
Yeah.
It gets to be like 120, 130 degrees. You don't know which way you're walking.
Oh.
Kids are kicking you. It's not.
No.
Yeah.
Does that rank as one of the worst odd jobs you
I just auditioned and then I heard the war stories of other former pickles in the audition room. And they're like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I was at the Iowa State Fair and I just started running. I started running towards my, and I was like, and these were grown men, and I was just like, you know what, I'm a tiny lady.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna drive down to Iowa and do that kind of nonsense.
No. Right.
Take
okay.
a take a tour like that.
Yeah. I'd right. rather do it without the suit. You mm-hmm. know, like if you're going to chase me out of town,
yeah.
I want to be known for who I am.
So you had to audition in the suit?
Yes. You had to okay. put on the suit.
So yeah. that was the one time you had it on.
Yeah. I had it on. Yeah. Yeah. I just sure. imagined all the horrors. No, so yeah. I didn't. But I have been a costumed character in a park. I was a Bajoran, the Star Trek Deep Space Nine franchise.
Yes.
Very briefly, was right. being showcased, I believe, for a number of years, a few years. And I came out to Los Angeles, was one of the reasons I got to move out here. They're paying $600 a week.
Wow.
For you to walk around with a Vulcan and a Klingon. I just had to wear a tight space outfit with some false breasts.
Uh-huh.
Because that's part of my culture. And and do Jack in the Box openings, and it was a delight.
That's, I mean, it is a pretty good gig, like, you know,
and you bring people joy. Yes. I guess that's, well, my thing with the Disney employees and like people that do that is yes. always like, I don't understand how you maintain a level of almost manic
yes.
positivity and joy, even when people are, and you know, look. The people that go to Disney, especially the Magic Kingdom, it's a lot of families with tired kids. It's stressful. So I don't understand how you can have guest interactions, which most of the time like probably are frustrating, but keep up that level of Disney happiness.
Well, aren't they're silent, right? Nobody says anything.
Well, but
the,
then
the people in the suits, but on a customer service level,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you can like walk up to a hostess and just be in the worst mood, be yeah. the biggest jerk and be like, I want a table now. And then they just have to smile through it.
Yeah. Like, well, I did sense some passive aggression. We went to Avatar Land because now they have, I don't know, Animal Kingdom has like the world of Avatar, Pandora.
Okay.
And there was like a very long line for like the state of the art attraction there. And one person came up to a cast member who's like smiling through it, dealing with people who don't want to wait. And the guy's like, is this seriously the line? Can I have my drink in there? She goes, actually, no, you can't bring an alcoholic beverage in and like or something like that, like some beverage.
Sure. But she was like, so,
and he was
so
like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not the policy. And she was just like, that's always been our policy. And you saw that little glimpse of like,
yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like, but she had the smile. And like, as far as anyone could tell or report, she right. was happy when she said it.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, what?
But she has her finger on the button. If anything goes down, if any woman starts to get aggro,
sure.
like she just,
you're
like
taken
the
out.
Shoot opens up and you're taken out of the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Then I also heard about they underpay people at the parks.
It's like and a people little are, bit culty.
Yeah. And people are living in their cars to work there.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, no. that's not happy.
Yeah.
That's
that happy. Can't be happy.
Yeah, oh my God, for sure. Well, the New York Times has done a series about it, so it has to be true.
It has to be.
Do you consider yourself an adventurous theme park type, or are you kind of, when you have a vacation, uh-huh. do you like the silence and the quiet and the books?
Oh, I do like a book,
yeah.
Unfortunately. But
unfortunately?
Well, I mean, for you guys, that's not super fun.
You don't have to be a skydiver.
We embrace it.
Okay. This last weekend, we went to see Yola Tango in the desert.
I love Yola Tango.
And that was fun.
Great.
And I don't know anything about music, so I brought my scrapbooking supplies.
Oh, perfect.
Where I sat in the back, mm-hmm. where it was at Pappy and Harriet's, this desert outpost place. And I sat there, and then the man came, you know, people who were sick or taken out by security sat by me on the on the bench. I got vomited by,
aww.
And I got... And
the real center for outcasts.
For outcasts.
Sure.
And I was my version of scrapbooking is I cut out pictures from magazines and then paste them inside of of used books and then give them to my friends for Christmas.
That's lovely.
I love it.
Now, what is a visually compelling thing in an image that will make you want to say, I'm cutting that
I'm cutting
out?
That
goes
out.
In the scrapbook.
Well, because my friends are middle-aged ladies, mm-hmm. it's always something, you know, like an adult diaper uh-huh. or like not your daughter's jeans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not like Nick Jonas.
It's not Charlie Puth.
I cut out
Puth.
Pictures of hot boys. Ooh, Charlie Puth.
No. Although he's very...
They're very cute boys.
That song, Attention, is very...
Attention is
nice.
Good.
Do you have a favorite hot young new star?
Well, I really loved watching I'm the One video with Justin Bieber and all of his pals.
And Khaled.
DJ Khaled. And it just... The discomfort they had as they were kind of like standing around casually as this gorgeous woman
on a horse,
hanging out on a horse. It was so bizarre. Yeah. And really, it was very sweet. I thought it was just very
found
sweet.
A sweetness in the discomfort.
Yeah, I just, they did not look, they were definitely looking at the camera really hard, like, this looks cool, right?
Yeah, we're playing it off. The music videos these days, they're getting pretty cool.
Yeah.
They just get cooler and cooler.
They just get cooler and cooler, I believe, because of the money.
The money.
They get money to do it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. And I tell you what music video just made me cry.
Which one?
Maroon 5. They have a new music video called Girls Like You. And they have, it's like Adam Levine is like singing and being handsome Adam Levine.
Hi, hi.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a very good Adam Levine. Famous impressionist. Clearly. But the camera's circling around him. And as it does, you see like another like.
With every revolution, there's a new sort of famous celebrity woman. And, you know, it's just kind of like a name dropping music, a music video.
But I believe the intent is like, all types of beauty. Yes, and the inner beauty, and they're just dancing and being themselves and being celebrating different individuality and wonderful. And then the last shot is him with Bihari, his gorgeous wife, and their baby, and he gives a hug, and it's his girl like him.
There you go,
a girl like you.
Sure, I will.
I cried. It got me.
It got
me. Wow.
You.
Okay.
And I don't know if I love that about myself, that I cried at a Maroon 5 video.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I watched Maroon 5's video with Cardi B. I love Miss Cardi B.
Miss Cardi.
This is the one.
Is that the one?
Yes, the one.
Okay.
And Cardi B comes in.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you watched the Cardi part.
Yes.
Which is kind of the best part for me. So
are you a Cardi fan?
I'm a Cardi fan. I think I saw it on her Instagram feed.
Yes.
Yes. She comes in and she has a lovely verse.
She rhymes her own name with Harley Harley. Cardi Cardi. Rev it up like a
Harley Harley. That's a good rhyme. Would we call that a slant rhyme?
It's not a slant rhyme. Well, yeah, it is a slant rhyme. It doesn't have the exact same syllabic, analogousness. I'm just pulling words out of
analogous,
my head.
I believe.
Analogous. Wait, one more thing about the I'm the One video. I think out of all of them, and let me know if you agree with me, Maria, I think Chance the Rapper is the least comfortable to be there.
Is he the guy with the elaborate teeth work?
Not the elaborate teeth work. He's the guy in the baseball cap and the facial hair, and he's just kind of an adorable guy, just like kind of dancing around.
Yes, yes.
But he's just like, I don't really, this is awkward, this is strange. He's the most like, he's winking at the audience the most. But anyway.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the new Jennifer Lopez video? It's called Dinero. And let me tell you, that's another good word. Dinero.
Dinero, yo quiero más.
That's money, basically the chorus.
It is.
Yo quiero dinero.
I want money.
And then she goes, dinero, 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 which is, of course, money. Three times.
Yes.
Now, Jennifer Lopez is absolutely a fabulously wealthy woman, and she shows that off in the video.
Yes.
And in the last shot, the very last shot, she's in a sauna, and next to her is a unicorn.
Because of course.
She's wealthy. We're to believe that she has so rich that she has a unicorn.
And Maria,
in a
you
sauna.
Look confused. Do you look confused, perturbed?
I bet she thought unicorns
it's
didn't
just
exist.
Everyone has different... Different definitions of what luxury means.
Sure.
That having a unicorn in a sauna with me, mm-hmm. That's not my go-to.
But when you're Jennifer Lopez, I guess like when you have everything,
right?
What's the one thing you don't have? Something that doesn't exist on this plane of reality.
Now, this is a fun little
in a hot enclosed area.
In a hot enclosed area and with an animal
where you could get impetigo.
Let's put it somewhere it can't live.
Now this opens up a good discussion. I say we each go around and talk about what our idea of luxury and wealth means in one setting. So I'll say I've got in one hand, a diet Sprite, another iced coffee, a little bit of half and half, just
cold brew or iced coffee?
Iced coffee, cold brew. I can't deal with just the
it's too much.
It makes me crazy.
Just it's too concentrated.
It's too
but
hard.
It's an iced coffee, but it's not a watered down hot coffee either.
Okay.
So and then I'm just I'm just at home playing a great video game, and then just eating a gorgeous pasta meal. All right. What about you, Matt? Let's go this way.
So I have a disease where every night I dream about theme parks. I can't explain it, but every single night of my life, there's a theme park in my dream.
Have you been to the other theme parks abroad, like the ones?
I sometimes do travel around. Like one time I was in Ohio. And I wanted to go to Cedar Point. Mm-hmm. Cedar Point?
Yes, I know what it is.
But yeah, so it's like the roller coaster palace of the world. But it was too far. So I went to Paramount Kings Island by myself. Mm. And I was being a nerd, like riding these like wooden roller coasters I had always wanted to do my whole life. And actually behind me in line were like other like coaster people.
Yeah.
And I got into like a discussion with them that I couldn't believe I was having about like the angles of the track. Like it's really...
The torsion.
It goes very deep.
Yeah,
like it's... It was coaster talk.
It was coaster
99.
Talk. Sure.
And it was, of course, in 2016. But I think that my idea of fabulous wealth would be to be able to, after a theme park closes, be able to rent it out.
Oh.
Like, you know, these, like, I whenever I'm leaving a theme park and, like, you see them setting up buffet tables,
yeah.
I'm like, who is it for? I want to be invited to that.
To that wedding.
And to be able to do whatever you want in the theme park.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, even a major one.
Sure.
Being like, I have it for the night.
You want to rent out all of the Universal City Walk.
Yes.
Here in
For me.
Here in LA.
And
yeah.
Honestly, by making it just for me, it would also be about hundreds of my closest friends.
Hundreds.
And then being able to walk down from ride to ride and be like, Stacey, Mark, Giovanni, you know, like everyone's there.
Have you met Stacey, Mark, and Giovanni
Can
yet?
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I don't know one person named any of those things.
You know a Mark? You must know a Mark.
I don't think I've ever met a Mark.
Well, just know that when you do, it's a sign of luxury.
I'm going to be like, Dinero, you're all coming with me to the buffet tables setting up at City Walk.
There you go.
But, what I mean by that is I'll just, it'll be all my people and, you know, my senior trip, we went to Hershey Park.
Okay.
My senior high school trip. And I was like, yes. But then it got very dark because the bus broke down on the way home. And I'm from Long Island, so it was from Pennsylvania to Long Island. And the bus broke down on the side of the road, and we had to walk to another bus, which didn't get there for 2.5 hours.
Oh, geez.
So we were just like, it was very like, this is how a horror movie starts.
Yeah.
And horror movies don't end well.
Is it a memory, though, that everyone connects with in your class?
I think that... we all have that shared experience, yes. Except the people that didn't go that day because they missed the bus. And you can never miss a bus.
Wow. No,
yeah.
And they really missed the bus.
Yeah, they really missed the bus. It's actually rule of culture number 91. You can
never
miss
the
bus.
Now, Maria, what is your idea of fabulous wealth?
Well, I was going to say something really...
shallow? I mean, don't worry about that.
No,
okay.
No. I was going to say something that is the opposite of shallow so that I look like a nice person, like affordable housing. That would be the real luxury for Los Angeles. There are 100,000 people living on the street, which there are.
No, it's true.
But okay, luxury. I think it would be... You know what it would be? It would be having tons of energy.
Oh.
I would love to be someone who has a shit ton of energy.
Yeah.
I'm on a number of medications, one which is an antipsychotic, which I love.
We love.
And it clocks me out at the end of the day. Mm. But the problem is I'm a little tie-tie all the time.
Yeah.
I would not mind having the go-go chihuahua energy of what I've seen of many people on the planet.
Sure. Yeah. I mean— Energy is the currency. That is, that's the wealth.
We are very tired right now.
And we promised each other we wouldn't bring this up.
We were saying we're not going to bring it up.
Like,
it's Maria.
We can't bring this up.
Oh, my God. Talk about it.
We are so tired.
Yeah.
So we're from New York. We're only here for 2 weeks. So basically, we did a live show on Tuesday. And so
you got to meet with the industry after you do the big show. They want to get to know you.
Yeah.
They want to
go through the motions. And
right.
What's your story?
Yeah. And we were happy to tell them our story. But in the process of doing so.
Mentally, you're just drained.
No, exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get a free bottle of water and then you go, what's happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel that when they offer you a bottle of water in the beginning of the meeting, obligated to say yes? Because the other day I said no and the girl looked at me like, you don't want water? And I was like, I'll take it.
Oh, shit. I've always taken the water. So I don't know what it feels like to not take the water.
Right.
I I always want something. I want whatever I can get out of that thing. I took two Dolly Ranchers out of your cup out there. Yeah.
Aren't they grape?
No, there's a grape and a cherry, and grapes are my fave.
Okay. I like grape too. I am not a grape girl.
Okay, all right.
You know what?
I'm not a sour apple girl.
Me neither. Okay. I'm very specific with this. Yeah. I need cherry, cherry, cherry.
Okay.
Well, across the board.
I may have not eaten all the cherries.
Okay. So I hope so. But also, I'm colorblind, so they all look the same to me. Sure. I looked in the thing, and I'm like, nope, those are all grape. But anyway, we understand being tired.
Yeah.
But my tiredness does manifest in doing more.
Oh.
Like, I'm a person who's on a lot, and then when I go home, like, I have to be by myself. Like, it's the whole day of extrovert. Yeah. And then, like, really, like, now let me conk out.
Sure. I mean, what is something like, how do you even combat that, like, moment to moment? Like, that's what my struggle is.
I can't combat it.
Okay.
I see my friend, Amy, who has a small business. She wakes up at 5. She feeds all of her 25 million animals.
Oh my God.
And then she goes to her small business, talks with people all freaking day.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes out to a ranch where she volunteers and cleans horses and goes on horse rides. And then she finally gets home at around 9 o'clock at night and she tips over. But I'm going to do this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Good.
Yes.
That's it for today.
I sometimes feel exhausted. Like, we were talking about those meetings. Like, we leave the meetings and we're like, oh my God, I'm out of breath.
Yeah.
Because they are a performance.
Yes, they are. For sure.
And podcasting is a performance.
Oh, sure. We're all performing now.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually Rule of Culture number 94. Podcasting is performance.
Yes.
Mm.
I miss some of the syllables there.
But that's okay because they got
it. Okay.
They understand.
Well, and some people miss. I've been on some podcasts where it is more just chit chat and you go, okay, we gotta step it up a notch.
Yeah. Because who really wants to just hear chit chat?
No.
No.
You want to hear something that has been really rehearsed.
And can serve you the extravagance. You want to listen to something that's been rehearsed. I don't want to hear any improv podcast or any off-the-cuff conversation.
And a good sign, a good...
So essentially this.
Essentially this.
Don't tune out.
To have a producer just laughing and rocking in his chair. I mean,
we love that he laughs. Look at his little shoulder shaking.
He's on his phone now. He's got to take care of some
this
stuff.
This is Brett. This is who we lovingly referred to as HPB, Hot Producer Brett. And he's an all our, you haven't met them, but we have lovely producers out in New York named Joe and Alex, who are referred to as
Hot
HPJ and HPA. Hot Producer Joe and Hot Producer
Alex.
How do you feel about us objectifying them in this way? Should we pump the brakes?
Well, my husband and I were just talking about this last night, mm-hmm. about how women are sometimes predators. You know, from the Me Too movement, there haven't been as many talks about how, like, this woman, we were dating and she pressured me for sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that happens too. So I want to say, Brett, this is your opportunity to speak up if you feel unsafe.
Yes, please.
And also, yeah, I mean, I just know that... With everyone talking about that, it does make me, I know what made me think about some of the things I did in the past as young ladies.
Yes.
Well, sure. Yes. But let's just, I guess, scope in on just me and Matt as two gay men, just sort of like playfully preying on these poor unsuspecting straight
what's
boys.
What's flirtation and what's intimidation?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's I think I was at a comedy club in Houston. Addison, anybody listening?
Hey, Addison.
And the club owner led me up to the stage by the small of my back.
No, that's a no.
Hey, I know where it is, buddy.
Yeah, that's
no
a never.
No touching at work.
Yeah, no.
So, but I think, oh, this is the definition of flirting that my friend Jackie Cation heard.
Jackie Cation.
Flirting is when you've succeeded in making the other person feel attractive. So if the person doesn't feel attractive, then you have not succeeded in flirting. Jackie Cation's 81-year-old father is a great flirter.
Mm.
Like, he's not a creepy flirt. For some reason, I just feel like a hot, hot babe around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's just... saying how pretty I look and where'd you get that blouse. It does make me feel good. So perhaps, you know, that's the thing you need to ask them. Brett, are you feeling attractive?
Are you feeling attractive?
Brett.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're in the clear. Yeah.
And I know, I knew it.
And you know what? There's
I see a little half smile erupt on that face every time.
There is a little bit of jealousy that's being sort of drummed up between the hot producers.
The producer, the other producer, Joe, has texted us and said, well, 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 it looks like I've been replaced.
Oh.
And I'm saying, listen, there's a room. There's two of us.
Yeah,
there's room for everybody.
There's love enough for everyone.
Absolutely. There's love enough for everyone. And of course, you are engaged to a lady. Mm-hmm. That we love.
He proposed on the Amalfi Coast. I mean, Brett.
Big reveal.
Big reveal.
It's going to be a long engagement.
Oh, really?
We had a whole discussion about it late 2019.
Oh, interesting.
I offered to perform the service.
I don't know. I'm like, I have any thoughts about it. I didn't get married till I was 45. And my husband and I had never had anything last over a year. Mm. He had never had last anything over 3 years. Mm. We are now at 4.5 years.
Longer than one and longer than three.
Mm-hmm.
New record.
Yes, new record.
Yes.
New
gives
record.
Me hope, cause I'm working with like my longest thing's been like 3 months and me being like, oh, is there any hope? But I mean, look, it just takes a guy who looks at your screen name, Hogbook, and says yes.
Yeah.
You have to lead with you're weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing too about like dating is like, that's amazing that you guys met on OkCupid.
Yes.
But OkCupid like didn't really work for me. And then I met my ex-boyfriend who I was with for over 2 years. I met doing a show and being very insanely weird on stage.
Oh, nice.
And I kind of was like, oh, phew, now I don't have to like let them know that I'm a performer. Was that like a weird, did like...
No, he had already, he watched comedy, so yeah. He knew that I was a comedian anyways.
Yes.
And he's an artist, and he mm-hmm. works for some famous like painter artists who are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, just in terms of a wonderful creative
yeah,
people. Like,
right.
So he had no problem with it.
Right, okay.
Didn't have, and he loves comedians. He says the comedy world is just so much more friendly, which
yeah,
is true. It's
it
a lot more accepting than we've gone to some art parties, and the art parties are
stuffy.
It's hard. Mm. Like, they're just it's a little stressful. I think because there's so much money involved. Comedy, we're all getting $20 maybe after
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, sure.
It's not, it's very
you get
democratic.
Two drink tickets and don't lose them, because if you lose them, yeah, you're not going to believe you.
Yeah.
But you know what I do is I pick up, usually no one wants both.
Yeah.
So I'll just take them all.
Drink tickets and
yeah,
cash.
And yeah, cash.
Yeah, I think when in comedy, it's so always humbling. Like mm-hmm, I can bomb. Well, I just did, you know, like the other night in a small bar in Los Feliz, like people weren't on board and
really?
I just kept talking. Well, you do your time.
Right.
You fill the time and people have seen a lot of famous performers here, and you got to be something real special to get anybody's attention in Los Angeles.
Do sure, you let the bombing, if that, first of all, I can't really picture your bomb.
Oh.
But I know it's being, having done
well,
it.
We believe that anybody can bomb and at whatever stage. Yeah. But I mean, when were we going to ask? Do you
we're
believe in the type
we're just always tickled. But what I was going to ask was, do you let the bombing like roll off your back, or do you kind of like really sit in it? Does it affect you?
I question my abilities and mm-hmm, what the point is,
uh-huh,
existentialism, nihilism, what's, yeah. What
is the function?
What is the function?
Yeah.
And feeling guilty, like I put these people through some, they'd gone out to have a good time and here they were trapped for 15 to 20 minutes with my nonsense. And, but I don't know. But that's also part of the machismo of doing
comedy.
Totally.
We're a little attracted to it, aren't we? The danger.
Oh.
Roll the show.
But no, actually, there's nothing attractive to me about bombing.
Yeah.
Like my friend just told me they bombed, and she was like, I bombed, and you know what? It felt good. I felt knocked down. Now I'm hungry again. I was like, see, that's not how I am. I'd like to be loved all the time.
That's usually what I create for myself, is I create like a small cocoon where I can just be in a black box theater and everyone's like, it's amazing that you're alive. Yeah.
You're a legend.
Yeah, good for you.
For a living. Do you feel that like now that people have known who you are for a very long time, you get that like, you're an icon, you're a legend, and thank you. Does that ever, does that,
oh, know.
I fall at your feet a lot?
I don't know. I don't think I've got that, but I would. I can't wait.
We bring out a huge trophy.
Well, I think you just realize and how lucky you are.
Yeah.
To still be in it and how unbelievably talented people are starting out now. People are just so good and that's very inspiring. I mean, I feel like I don't feel like I'm better at it really on some level than I was when I started in terms of like just I probably had more passion when I started, which probably helped things.
Right.
And now I'm like, yeah, I've got a pool.
We paid for the pool, so maybe we can slow down.
Yeah. No,
we got the pool.
We got the pool.
We have the luxury, so.
Yeah, no, I've got the pool. So, now, now the my husband and I, we're going to do a we're trying to build a cooperative of our house.
Great.
So we've got one comic in, Carmen Morales lives with us, and then maybe get a second one and maybe get another old pug. If we get three old pugs, like a little pug old ranch, old pug ranch.
I love pugs.
I think pug ranch is your wealth setting. I think that's what it is.
Well, and that's $1,500 a month. I mean,
jeez,
just for eye drops. I mean, seriously.
Those poor things.
They are dying from birth to death. It's not a good situation for them.
Tell me if you agree with me. The thing to admire and love about pugs is that they are constantly suffering. Just constantly. Like, they can't breathe, and they're just like confused adult, or like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's like, and you are, but yet you keep going.
And yet you keep going. Am I misstating anything?
No, that is, that's like looking in the mirror to me. You know, like, I'm struggling. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, I'm the person, like, you know when they have those survivor stories on the sea or something? It's like, I'm the person who eats all the chocolate and goes, I'm so sorry, and then dives and is eaten by sharks. Like, I just, I'm not a survivor on some level.
I understand that sentiment. I watch Life of Pi and stuff, and I'm like,
No. you see like a zombie movie, and people are like, what character would you be? I was like, I'm not in it. The second I hear the zombie apocalypse is happening, I guarantee I have a heart attack right away, and I'm gone. Shark movie, no. I see a shark, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
I don't do anything heroic.
Or, it's been a good run.
Yeah, right.
It's been a good run.
You just gotta hang it up.
Let it come.
Like, here I am. I probably would just walk out.
Yeah, no.
Like, zombies, it has to happen now.
Yeah, like, just take me early. I'm an early adopter.
Are you guys hungry?
That's it. Pugs, though. Pugs are emblematic of survival, maybe. Is that what it is?
Yeah, where they're struggling and they're adorable and they're also super accepting and loving. Most of them. I'm sure there are some growly pugs, but I don't know them. And I feel weird about it. That's why we get old pugs.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to bring any more babies into the world unless, because I think it is a little odd, like, that we breed.
Honestly, it feels weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, like, we had golden retrievers all growing up.
Oh,
and they are the best.
Yeah.
But watching what happens to their hips as they get older, I mean, it's like a very hard, you know, it's really sad.
Maggie.
I know, Maggie, my dog just passed away last year. But that wasn't even a hip thing. It was, she had stomach cancer.
Oh.
And literally within weeks. And it's just like, it's just so sad. And then it's hard to, you know, of course the suggestion is, well, you know, get another dog, like, you know. But then it's like, you're signing up for that again.
Again.
And this is after we had lost our first dog. They got Maggie. And now this is the second golden retriever they've lost. And I can tell my parents, like, we're not going to get another one. It's too hard.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's like when people have babies, like my parents, they knew there's tons of mental illness and, you know, addiction on both sides of our family.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd they bring more suffering into the world?
Why did you do this?
Yeah.
Why'd you do it?
Why not? Or just adopt. Like, at least somebody who's already here.
But then you don't know what you're getting.
Parents,
no.
But then you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. Well, but then at least you've done somebody else a solid by being there for them. And I don't know, though. I don't know if my parents.
Sure.
I I thought for a long time I got very obsessed about becoming a foster parent, so much so that I listened to 40 episodes of the Foster Parenting Podcast, which is recorded here in Los Angeles by a lovely Christian couple, but they don't talk too much about Christ, for which I am grateful.
Yeah.
And but it turns out being a foster parent is a shit ton of work.
It's a lot.
And and you have to be very stable and
patient
and show up to court dates and
have a lot of emotional energy. Yeah.
Keep a relationship with the biological family, and it's on.
Really? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the rules in or the law in LA anyways. It's open adoption for their whole lives unless the parents sever the which is good for the kids, I think, so they know, but it's intense. Like, you're signing up for a lot of hard work. But I did listen to 40 episodes.
Yeah. So you're prepared if need be.
Oh, my gosh.
Or to encourage someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Encourage them.
Let's do it.
You know what? Oh, gosh. Someone sent me that New York Times piece about, or was it in The New Yorker? Anyway.
One of the New Yorks.
It was, but it was this whole piece about this mother who is in this open adoption sort of relationship where she visits her biological child like every twice a year or once a year, and it's a beautiful setup. It's wonderful, but like, gosh, like just a gut punch like to your emotions, to mine as a reader. I was like, oh, this is so complicated and so generous and beautiful for the adults to sort of opt into this. So anyway.
Yeah, it makes you feel horrible about complaining about being tired.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Have you guys tried cold brew?
Oh. All right, wait. One more thing about cold brew.
Okay.
When I have cold brew, I become a killing machine.
Mm. You're on it. You're on.
Like,
you're,
yeah. You know the movie Lucy with Scarlett Johansson?
Mm.
That's me.
I have not seen that movie. Can you act it out?
The tagline of it is,
yes.
You're only using, human beings only use 10% of their brains.
And this is a situation where someone is using 100% of their brain.
Right.
So that's like me for 15 minutes when like a cold brew sits in.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, we're going to do this. And I would love to take that meeting. And oh, look at that. There's the treatment or whatever, I'm doing. And also I scheduled a vacation and my flight's
landing.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
I've completed the paperwork for a 529 plan.
Yeah. And then there's the whole bathroom experience that follows a cold brew.
Oh.
It ain't good.
Okay.
You get a stomach disaster.
Now, as a person, I'm embarrassed to say I have two massive cold brews per day.
Oh my gosh.
Again, I'm on Seroquels, which is the non-generic antipsychotic that is very powerful.
That's you combating that.
Yeah, I'm combating the sleepy time.
It out.
Yeah. But I still do have that same experience of like having a boat of ideas all
at
once.
Yeah.
A glorious moment.
And do you look back at the ideas and say, "Oh, those are cold brew ideas"?
My husband sometimes has to stop me and go, "Why did you invite 12 people over tonight?" Well, how else are we going to? Need 12. Yeah, I want to meet people. I want to get into community. Well, this is my
get
new,
into community.
We get AARP magazine, and one of the things they say is the more relationships you have, the longer you'll live.
Ooh.
So suddenly I've started seeing human beings as life extenders.
Okay. Let me tell you,
how
many days are you getting out of us?
I don't know.
Well, guess.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out someday.
I think I'm getting a year out of you, Maria Bamford. I'll live to 29.
Oh, boy.
It's so creepy, though, because my Carmen Morales, who lives with us now, says, how much time do you think you're getting out of me right now? Like, well, if we make eye contact for 3 to 5 seconds,
ooh,
maybe another week.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, this is what you do, Maria. You invite over 12 people. You ask those New York Times 36 questions or whatever it is.
Oh, you all fall in love.
To make you fall in love with someone. Or is that, no, that's not the function, but it's like 36 questions to get to know someone as completely as you can in a structured setting.
Wait, is that something different than the Vogue 76 questions?
Yes, well, those are videos.
Okay.
But the 36 questions, like, what are, like, Should we look them up? Well, no, we can't do this on the podcast.
No,
because podcast famously not a visual medium.
Do we remember what's on there, Brett?
Yeah, like some. It's one of them is like the worst moment from your childhood.
Oh gosh.
What do you want to do with your life in the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
But these are things that like are deeply intimate and I might not want to share in a given
I can
moment.
Never answer any of those questions.
Do you believe in God?
Yeah.
Do we believe in God? I believe we're a table of all atheists.
Okay, okay. I think, yeah. And
here's what's happening.
All atheist all the time.
The 36 questions that lead to love. Oh, gosh. Okay. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Oh, the dinner guest question. It's one person.
One person. Oh, I'd want somebody like my grandmother who died in a fire of her own making while drinking and smoking. Definitely want to talk to her.
Yeah, and you could buy her dinner because exactly. She needs a break. All right. Would you like to be famous in what way?
I mean,
I like to be universally beloved. I believe I said this before.
I want to be beloved by enough people.
This is a hard question.
This is tough. These are like a little too soul bearing in a way.
Do you want to be famous?
Yes. In the sense that I want everyone to be, because I have sometimes difficult saying hi to people.
Right.
And so if everyone can say hi to me, that would really break the ice. That's why I've been interested in show business.
It's social efficiency.
And this is that's a good lead into this one. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why?
Oh, never for
they
me.
They get you with the why there.
Yeah.
And the answer is for me is like, yes, always because I'm anxious.
Yeah. It depends on what the phone call would be. If it's a phone call to like a girlfriend who's mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then of course
you gotta have a plan.
Yeah, you got to work it all out and go, but maybe... I guess I try not to have a plan, and then I just try. You're supposed to just listen,
yeah.
Right?
Honestly, it's about listening and reacting, and I think that's how a conversation works.
I just gotta center on me and what I'm saying.
Oh, jumping around here. Here's a good one.
Okay.
If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? The concrete truth about one thing.
About yourself.
About yourself, your life, the future, or anything else. No, this is like a broad question.
If I don't know the truth about myself, I don't know. That just seems like a gimme. Like,
sure.
Or it just seems like I think I know I'm selfish.
Yeah.
I'm self-absorbed. I think those are the two main ones.
And do you consider yourself vain?
Vain in a different way, though. In a way where it's like, I don't want to look vain.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, I'm just, I don't wear makeup because it doesn't matter to me, but check it out.
Yeah, but don't you, but really inside you're like, I'm coming off really natural and grounded.
Right.
I am relatable.
Check it, the check it
hashtag
out is the
relatable queen. I would say I would want to know how much longer we have on this planet.
Oh, well, that's
the planet
that's
as
morbid.
A whole. It is morbid, but that's the truth. I want if I'm being told that a crystal ball. I don't know if you heard about this crystal ball, but the crystal ball
does not
famously
lie.
Knows and famously doesn't lie.
Yeah.
So I would probably just want to know, like, okay, like what's the gig here? What's the grand scheme? Because it feels like every day, like,
yes,
deep, 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 deep. We're getting closer to. You know what's headlines I hate the most? The doomsday clock took one more second towards the end of the world. Wow. Fuck that. I don't want to hear about the doomsday clock.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah. Well, and that sounds like, you know, AV Science Club telling us. I mean, not that it's not true, but like, you know, wake up.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
I don't know. I just think, I don't think I'd want to know anything, actually.
Okay.
From the ball at all.
Ignorance is bliss.
I would rather be surprised.
Sure.
Like if oh, you're gonna die on the way home today, or you know, whatever, your husband leaves you. It's like, oh, that's weird. Like I want to know. I like a surprise.
You would have rather not known that.
I wouldn't have thought that's how it would wrap up. But all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Make three true we statements each. For instance. We are both in this room feeling.
Oh, this is tough.
Hot. It's a little hot.
We are all hot.
We are all tie-tie.
We're all tie-tie.
We're all tie-tie.
And we're all admitting that.
Oh, yes. We're all admitting that, yeah.
We're being honest with each other,
Brett,
ourselves. Brett.
And we're all ignoring Brett.
We all spoke for Brett.
Wow, interesting.
but you are a piece of meat. And that's it. Hope you feel attractive hearing that.
Okay.
Pick one more, and then we'll ask the question.
We'll do the last one. This is number 36. And this
what if they stole our question? What if number 36 was, what is the culture that made you say culture is
free? I would sue.
I would have
to
file a lawsuit.
No. That's hashtag. No, that's trademark. TM.
TM. Little TM in the corner in the print.
There you go.
Community TM.
No. Trademark it. Go.
Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she or they might handle it. Also, ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen.
Oh, this is a crazy one.
This
That's
is
a lot. But I'll do it. I have a ladies' night where all the ladies are coming over to my house. I don't know how many ladies that's going to be. Ooh. It could be 2.
Okay.
It could be 9. Wow. It is people from all parts of my life. So mm-hmm. it's people who don't know each other, and it could get weird. And so I feel, and I'm also, I already have social anxiety in terms of, I love controlled communication. I love a podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love a stand-up. I love a 12-step program. I love a list of questions.
Yep.
Yeah.
You like the parameters.
Oh, God. You know, when do we stop? When do we start? Thank you. I don't like an... You know, just chit chat in the street with my neighbor.
There you go.
When's the heart out on this?
Right, yeah.
So I don't know what to do to prepare myself for tonight.
Okay.
Well, first I would say that you seem because you knew what you wanted to say right away.
Yes.
I think you are actually on top of this, more on top of this than you think.
Okay.
And I think that being conscious of the fact that you're going to have many different sort of like temperatures in the room potentially. Yeah. I think that you are going to be a solid base for everyone, and they'll come to you at your level.
Oh.
And to add to that,
that's how I feel that you're I think it's going to go well.
Am right. I like the Ralph's grocery store roast chicken in the middle of the room?
I was going to say exactly that.
Yeah. Who's like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
or that's the level we're going to be eating at tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody wanted to bring something fancy, that's up to you.
Right.
But this, we're going with roast chicken.
Right. We're going with Ralph's roast chicken. We know what it is. There are no false pretenses about it being a home roasted chicken.
Yeah.
I will add to that that yes, the fact that you are aware of your sort of your grip on control, what am I saying? It just means that you have the awareness of the concept, which means that you will have control in some way. Not in the ways that you think you
right.
will.
Okay.
But in some way you'll have control.
But I identify with that because last night I was going to meet up with some new friends.
While
I was getting ready and before I was going to get in the lift, I was so panicked. Mm. And I was just like, and there really wasn't any reason to be nervous. But when I got in the room, I could, and even just seeing what the room looked like and looking at people in the face, I was like, I'm okay now because now I know what the rules are. You know what I mean? Like the spatial rules. There's like the idea of interacting sometimes will terrify me.
Right.
I don't think anyone would think that about me when they're interacting with me because I'm pretty good at either faking it or doing it, whatever. But beforehand, I do get very nervous.
Yes.
And I start forcing, sometimes I do this at a party that I've hosted. I'll start forcing people to do certain things like, you guys, let's do a game.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so freaked out that I don't know, the conversation's died or somebody's, and I want to not do that. Like, just let it be boring.
Sure.
Right.
The game is a parameter. The game is a controlled environment.
Yeah. And I don't even like games.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because that game means competition, and you don't know how everyone's going to handle that.
Yeah. And it might be just fun to chit chat.
I love to chit chat. And can I tell you what I really don't like the most? When someone says, hold on, you need to see this video. I don't like to gather. I don't think so, honey. When people gather around we're forced to gather around a computer unless we all are emphatically, enthusiastically consenting to the video.
Yeah.
But suggest, or like when you're out to dinner with someone and they hand you a phone and they say, watch this video. It's like, I'm not going to be able to hear it the way that it was intended. Maybe this isn't the moment. Maybe I've already seen it, you know?
Yeah, no, a raccoon on IBS.
Later. We'll watch it later.
Yeah. That's something I can do on my downtime.
Right. There you go. Right. A raccoon with IBS would be fun.
Yeah, honestly.
No. It was up this
what?
Skyscraper. It was an international sensation.
Oh, wait. Yes. You don't remember this?
No.
A raccoon crawling like 50 stories up to the top of a skyscraper in St. Paul,
and
Minnesota.
Pooping?
No, not IB. I think the tower is called the IBS tower.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Can I tell you what my mind's eye saw? Mm. A raccoon running up a building having the shits whole time.
Trickle down.
Leaving a cascade or waterfall, for those that don't know the word cascade, of raccoon shit. Which I would imagine is watery for some reason.
Well.
Well, look at what they eat.
They don't have good diets.
They don't.
They need to get on keto.
But wait a minute. Did we just admit to ourselves that maybe we don't dislike chit-chat after all? It has its moments.
But I know that it's not my strong suit.
Sure.
That I sometimes will... Yeah, I'll try to connect... I've gotten into monologuing a little bit as I've grown older, which is super embarrassing.
No.
When I was shyer, I never did it. And now I'll hold court. Oh,
do you believe you've become more outgoing over the years?
Outgoing, or have the idea that what I'm saying is interesting? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I know. The worst.
You just gotta get the yes men out of your life and just have people be like, Maria, this is too much.
This story about the raccoon. I don't know.
Stop right there.
Stop right there.
We didn't know what the IBS was.
Yeah, no. Yeah, if I can't describe it, you know, just let it go.
Let it go. I think it's time to ask the question.
We must ask the question.
Okay, great.
And this question is what we ask all of our guests, and it's a question of culture.
Okay.
Maria Bamford, when did you decide that culture was for you? Like, growing up, like, you saw a movie or were influenced in some way by music or a particular television show or something like that, something in pop culture that you feel sort of steered you in your cultural direction, maybe even change your life.
This is the first thing that came to mind when I heard that question. The show Three's Company.
Wow, good one.
I love the camaraderie of the show. And then it had a little bit of sexiness.
Yeah, it was very sexy.
And then the physical comedy and that he would keep falling over the couch and that it was in California. Mm-hmm. And I knew California was an interesting, dangerous place.
So it was that element of... there's something unknown.
It's
here.
An edgy show for its time.
Now we've gotten some flack in the past on this show for mis-summarizing.
Oh yeah, I thought I knew what it's been a very long time. I used to watch it on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew what the plot of the show was.
And you said
I was like, he pretends that he's gay so he can live with the two hot girls. Is that right?
No.
Okay. It's that the guy, they won't rent to him if he's a straight dude with two hot girls. So he has to say that he's gay so that he's not hooking up with the two straight girls.
Oh.
So it's this really weird moral window in our culture where it's like, I don't ever remember that being a thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least that's what I remember what it was. But I don't remember that being, except for, the goofy... like upstairs downstairs thing where people would be switching places because he had to be gone and they had different beds, different places.
Right. Yeah. He was one fierce physical comedian.
Oh my goodness. Yeah so good. But I never thought I could be on a show like that, but I just thought, oh, that's interesting. I mean, I had listened to stand-ups like Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy with my dad, and that was heartening, but I guess I didn't really think, and I watched Carol Burnett, but anyways, I just remember I loved Three's Company for some bizarre reason, and it was and Pepe Le Pew. Do you remember Pepe?
Oh, sure.
That was my sexual awakening.
Oh, was Pepe.
I was like, what is this feeling that I feel?
Makes when you feel attractive. He's flirting with you through the screen.
He was painting that cat to look like a skunk, and she was trying to get away from him because she wasn't a skunk. And then, like, somehow, I mean, it's the weird.
It was his bravado. It was his pursuit.
Confidence. And the pursuit, yeah. Confidence. Knowing that she loved him, even though, anyways, and a bit, I'm sure it's a bit of that romance novel, rape fantasy thing, which I think is not the greatest.
No, well, not the greatest. I don't know in this social climate how Pepe Le Pew is holding up.
Sure.
Pepe Le Pew is on a list.
But, I mean, who's to say that the cat didn't feel attractive?
We
take
don't
it as
know,
sort
but
of,
that's the thing, it's not for us to say, yeah. And we never heard it, and therefore.
The look on our face, though, was of confusion and shock.
Of course.
It wasn't of delight.
It wasn't of delight.
Right. I don't know if there was enthusiastic consent.
So we always say on the show, podcasts are a visual medium. We have to make the visual emphatic that we're all confused and shocked and upset.
Yeah.
In this moment.
Yeah, we're very stirred.
For sure.
Very stirred.
By
very
Pepe stirred. Le Pew. I honestly, Three's Company, I'm very grateful that I was growing up in like a time when that was on Nick at Night, like, because I actually, people that are even a little bit younger than us don't have any idea what that is, what I Love Lucy is.
Yeah.
I can't believe that people don't know what I Love Lucy is, but where would they have access to it if television just isn't showing it?
Or people don't watch TV anymore, they watch YouTube channels.
Or they
have to like opt in through several filters to be like, okay, I'm going to go on Netflix and then I'm going to decide on what to watch, where it's like you just turn on the TV and then it would come to you.
Yeah. I try to think of what I would watch if I were a baby today. Uh-huh. And I think if I were a baby today, I would just watch Swedish murder shows.
Right. Honestly, you know what's funny is like the old shows now, they're showing, I did air quotes, y'all.
Old
visual
shows.
Medium. The quote unquote old shows are like Friends and...
I mean, you know.
The old Will and Grace.
They've aged, and then, sure.
Right, but it's so funny to think about those as like the classic shows that we're showing you.
Yeah.
Not like even the Facts of Life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not even like Cheers. Like, you know,
And like, they have to be seen.
Sure.
I Love Lucy has to be seen.
I love
Everyone has to know Vita Vita Vegemin.
Yeah, I Love Lucy is very good. The only thing is I compare myself with her because I'm a lady, the comedian. I go, oh, again, she has the kind of energy that I will never have.
Sure.
It's okay. I'm a one podcast day lady, and I'm not even hosting it.
But hey, you're not wearing yourself out with cigarettes. Like, you're not chain smoking like Lucille did, right?
Was she a chain smoker?
Oh yeah. And then her voice got all sort of raspy and gorgeous by the end.
Yeah, Joan Rivers, too, to the very last day was...
Gotta keep the weight down.
Grinding. I saw her... Was she important for you, Joan?
Joan Rivers. Yeah, yes, I didn't relate as much to her because she was so...
Different,
she's so balls out or whatever.
Yeah.
I am much more demure, passive-aggressive, and...
She was aggressive.
Yeah, which is awesome.
I
think that's more genuine sometimes to be more. My husband's from Philadelphia originally, and I'm trying to learn from him, you know, like, just say it. Hey, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did it.
You're an idiot.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You're going to get a chance to do that literally right now.
What?
Because this is the time for our segment, I Don't Think So, Honey.
Ooh.
Which... is our segment that we do on every episode.
Okay.
Which is you take 1 minute to rant, or if you don't want to rant, to emphatically state, or plainly state something in culture or something in life that bugs you like nothing else. You say, I don't think so, honey, this thing. Bowen and I will demonstrate. We do this every episode.
Great.
It's our 1 minute to rant about something in culture, and I have something.
You have something.
Oh,
okay,
from
great.
Years of experience, I have something.
Okay, so we'll demonstrate this. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, couples who give PDA in restaurants.
Oh.
I don't think so, honey, because as a server, it's very difficult for me in my 10-year serving to engage with you while you are doing this. And also, I don't think so, honey, if you tell me that you didn't get good service. But you were clearly engaged in PDA the whole time when I was trying to do my job. And I think so, honey, myself as a server. For many years, I was very good. Towards the end, do we care less? Yeah. But I don't think so, honey.
30 seconds.
Also, people are eating and like it's distracting. Not that affection is disgusting, but I don't think so, honey, in a mixed company setting. You come out to be in public. And also I don't think so, honey, when people sit on the same side of the booth.
15
when
seconds.
Couples are sitting on the same side of the booth. I'm always just like, I don't know, because now I feel like interacting with you both is strange.
Oh.
Maybe I'm thinking too inside the box in terms of restaurant
seconds.
Interaction, but I don't think so, honey, these couples who make it about them in restaurants let people die.
And that's 1 minute. Wonderful.
Gosh.
That to me feels
good to know.
Selfish. Yes. So when I see you and the hubby out there.
Oh God, and our tongues out.
Yeah, your tongue's wagging.
Put them back in the mouth.
Eyes flapping.
My husband's peen is peeking out.
His peen's peeking out.
Peen's poking.
Everything.
I'm sloshing. Boob
on a head.
Boob on a head.
Your boob's on his head. His butt's on the plate. I don't think so.
Your foot's in his mouth.
Ooh,
oh, that's fun.
Listen, nothing like a prune feed. That's what we do. I feed him prunes.
Mm.
Anyways, that's an old teen Christian church game.
A prune feed.
Yeah, it's just something fun.
Yeah.
You put a plastic baggie on your foot and then you feed the guys prunes.
That is fun.
And see who can eat the most.
What'd you do at the lockout? We did prune feeds.
I used to try to bite Henry's toe and he really didn't like it.
Oh, your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a little sharing.
No, this is awesome.
I just thought sometimes when he didn't like to be tickled.
Mm. And I would say that most people don't. Yeah. Will
you don't
not,
like to be tickled?
I don't like it.
It's a good thing you're not in a relationship with me.
Matt, this is an issue of, I will say there's some element of consent in tickling where tickled party, if they don't like it, you got to stop.
Well, he would laugh. But that's the thing about getting tickled.
No,
that's what's crazy about tickling.
It's a physiological response.
Yes,
to
even
laugh.
Though you're laughing, you're not liking.
Exactly.
Well, we're all learning more. And more each
I have
day.
One. I have
this
one.
Is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey, and he has one, people. And his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. These small ass headphones. I don't think so, honey. Normative head sizes, even. I can't pull off baseball caps for my life.
Oh.
And now I gotta deal with these headphones all week that are just constricting my blood flow to my head, my most important part of my body, shall we say.
Yes.
I will go out on a limb and say my head is the most important part of my body.
Yeah,
and to have these small headphones that press up against my ear, that jam my glasses into my skull.
Oh, I haven't thought about that.
You know, the pain is, you know, insidious. It's not painful, but it over time it can really drive you to madness, mm-hmm. shall we say. Because the headwear in general for me, I've always had to walk through this life and navigate spaces with nothing on my head. And sometimes I want an extra layer of protection that I can't have because the market is working against me. And that's 1 minute.
And you know what? We are all privileged to have tiny heads.
Absolutely. You all are. And mine is too big. And it's
been
my
struggle. I have a giant head too.
You do?
I got an extra large graduation cap. They had to order it specially.
See?
What?
I had to do the same for me. And it's just my whole life. It's been this thing that I've had to accept, but no longer. No.
I think my head is also big, and look at how the back of my skull juts out.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
You see it, right?
That's
it's not normal.
That's a fucked up pillow your mom put you on as a child, maybe. Oh. The deformed.
Are you saying my mother didn't raise me perfect?
I might be.
You'll have to answer to her. She's a listener of the pod.
She's a listener of the pod.
Oh,
she's
she
lovely.
Loves the pod. Katrina. What's her name?
Her name is Katrina.
Katrina, hello, Katrina.
Oh,
you've
she
done
will love
such
that.
A lovely job of raising your son.
Thank you so much. At least Maria thinks so.
Yeah.
Fine.
And now we're going to find out what else Maria thinks. Because it's time for your I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
And Maria Bamford.
This is my first one.
Yes,
so.
First one. First of many, we hope.
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey. Every time I go for cold brew at Starbucks and they are out.
Oh.
They're out at 10 a.m. That is unkind, unfair. You have this big poster, this floor-to-ceiling poster that says cold brew. It has a beautiful picture of a foaming cold brew with foam on the top. I've grown addicted. You've given me the substance that I have to have.
30 seconds.
Otherwise, I'm going to feel really depressed all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm genuinely depressed. I've tried to have an iced coffee. It's not good. Oh, an iced Americano. Do you want an iced Americano? Do you want a cup of spit?
Oh! 15 seconds. I bet they don't.
No, it's not fair. I do appreciate that you create the pint-sized bottles that take to go. Thank you.
5 seconds.
If you could have that at every Starbucks in every airport that I'm at, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you, Starbucks.
Wow. I bet every listener is nodding their head emphatically because I don't think so, honey, when people advertise things that they do not have. If you have a sign, it should be there.
Yeah.
At all times.
And I've been a terrible restaurant employee. I respect what you did.
We are the elite.
But I was not good at it. And there were times when I didn't do a good job where I'd say, oh, we're out of Diet Coke.
That happens a lot too.
Hey, isn't there a thing where you bring it up from the basement and then hook it up to the machine? Uh-huh. Oh, I guess I could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So... I think it's just me being irritated with my past self, looking myself in real time and going, you're out of cold brew. I know you could make it.
Yeah, that's the thing is it's like you are a coffee place. I don't think it's acceptable to be out of what is essentially coffee.
And yet.
Are
they being fairly paid? Probably not.
I don't know. I think the Starbucks people are
depends on
a living wage is $25 an hour in New York and Los Angeles. If you want to live in a one bedroom.
You know what? I think that's definitely not what they're getting paid.
No.
I will say you contending with your own service past, food service past. It's not about inventory like it might be at Starbucks where they might just be out of cold brew and they have to brew more and it'll take however many hours.
Yeah.
That is just them just sort of not having their inventory straight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. I can't stand when they're not on top of refilling supplies. And it's also like 10 in the morning. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, no, it wasn't 5 p.m. It's like I think as an addict, it doesn't feel fair.
Right.
You've set me up to need this. And then the bar doesn't open till 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not right.
This isn't okay.
This isn't okay.
So I want to congratulate you on being very aggressive.
Thank you.
You were incredibly aggressive.
Very complained.
Yes.
And I'm not. I was worried that I wouldn't be as good. Thank you so much. Thank
no, you. No, you were a pro. That was a good one.
You were a pro.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And a pro through and through. And also, it's truly our honor to have you.
Thank you so much for coming
on this podcast, Las Culturistas.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be a part of the Las Culturistas.
Yes, dad can't say it either. And some people said the other day, Culturistas. I was like, I think you might be doing too much.
You're trilling a little bit too much on that.
It's just Culturistas.
There you go.
Culturistas.
Yes! Maria Bamford did an impression of me. I'm honored.
Me gusta.
Dinero, dinero, dinero! Okay, we finished every episode with a little song, Bowen.
Yes.
And what will that song be?
Oh, that song will be, here we go. When a girl like you, and a girl like you,
listen, the music video is good. We don't know the words.
We don't know the
Maybe
words.
Maybe that's a comment on the song itself, but the music video made me cry. Love you, Maroon 5. Love you, Adam Levine.
Thank you so much, Maria Bamford.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Forever.
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.